The apostles returned and met with Jesus and told him all the things they had done and taught. There were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his disciples didn't even have time to eat. So he said to them, "Let us go off by ourselves to some place where we will be alone, and you can rest for a while." So they started out in a boat by themselves to a lonely place. Many people, however, saw them leave and knew at once who they were. So they went ahead from all the towns and ran ahead by land and arrived at the place ahead of Jesus and his disciples. When Jesus got out of the boat, he saw this large crowd, and his heart was filled with pity for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When it was getting late, his disciples came to him and said, "It is already very late, and this is a lonely place. Send the people away and let them go to the nearby farms and villages in order to buy themselves something to eat." "You give them something to eat," Jesus answered. They asked, "Do you want us to go and spend 200 silver coins on bread in order to feed them?" So Jesus asked them, "How much bread do you have? Go and see." When they found out, they told him, 5 loaves and also 2 fish. Jesus then told his disciples to make all the people divide into groups and sit down on the green grass. So the people sat down in rows, in groups of 100 and groups of 50. Then Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, and gave thanks to God. He broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. Everyone ate and had enough. Then the disciples took up 12 baskets full of what was left of the bread and the fish. The number of men who were fed was 5,000. This ends the reading. You may be seated.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, I think it's pretty cool the way God works things out sometimes, and I guess not even sometimes, but all the time. We just don't always necessarily see it. But for example, so this last week we kicked off Fun and Friends, and we've got 3 Wednesdays worth of events coming up. Well, the first one last week and 2 more coming up, in which we're going to have all kinds of kids here from all kinds of backgrounds with all kinds of needs, and it can feel sometimes a little bit like getting overrun for 2-hour chunks at a time. But for those of you who are participating in that and helping with that, thank you so much. I'm really impressed by what goes into that and how you dedicate yourselves to that. But through all the needs and through all the wants and everything else, what we recognize, of course, is that through it all, Jesus is always showing compassion. You saw that word already on the front of the bulletins. But what is compassion? It's one of those words that we probably know how to use, but all don't always take the time to define or unpack. Because compassion is more than feeling. Compassion is more than just caring for someone. We know there's more depth to it, but how can we explain it? What do we describe compassion as? You know, some of my childhood years, I maybe have mentioned this before, but some of my childhood years were spent growing up in Iowa, kind of my formative years, 8 years in Cedar Rapids. And although it was in a small city and not in the country, got to be around farms and farming enough that sort of got a sense of things, especially when it came to corn. And there in Iowa, the farmers, like farmers most places probably across this country for all kinds of crops, are usually eager to get the crops in the ground so that hopefully they can be the first one to get their crops harvested and out of the ground and take advantage of the market, the supply and demand thing that influences prices. And so they want to get in early, but not too early, because the snows have to melt, the rains have to go away, and if you get into your fields too soon, it's just slop, it's a mess. And so there was this one farmer, it was springtime, and he was in his fields for the first time of the season, big tractor pulling this big plow thing behind it, but he got into the field just a little bit too early. For the most part, it looked like it was ready, but you know, even though it looks perfectly flat, there are certain places there that are just a little bit higher and just a little bit lower. In those lower spots, the water collects and stays wet and soggy for quite a long time. And the farmer had gotten his tractor into one of those low spots there, and he didn't know it was going to be there, and he got stuck. He got stuck. The tires were spinning like it would do if you, you know, got stuck in snow or something. And you know you're there for good when you just spin and spin and nothing happens. But somehow you just can't quite stop yourself. You hope that somehow a miracle will take place. You'll spin all the way down to bedrock or something and get some sort of traction, but it doesn't happen. And so this farmer with his tractor with those great big wheels had gotten his tractor stuck in that mud down 2 feet. So he decided he would go over to his neighbor farmer, a man he knew fairly well, a friend who probably would help him out. He walked there. He walked across the fields, probably a good mile all the way to his farmer friend's place, and he described to him what had happened, how he had gotten to the field too early. There was a low spot. It was muddy. He got the tractor stuck, and could he please help him? His friend came over. They walked that mile back out to that soggy place where the tractor was stuck in the mud, and took a look at it, kind of in that, very deliberate sort of farmer way. He said, yeah, you're stuck. Says, well, I'll tell you what, he said, I'll go get my tractor and bring it over here. We'll try to pull you out. We'll see if we can't pull you out, but even if we can't, here's what I'll do. I'll come, and I'll just sit in the mud with you. I think that's compassion. That's compassion. Compassion is more than feeling love or concern for someone. Compassion is putting that love into action, even if that action doesn't seem very active. Compassion is sitting in the mud with a friend, feeling their pain, sensing their hurt, not even necessarily quite sure what to do, but still in the mud anyway. That's compassion. Compassion is what Jesus had for the crowds that day, in that episode we just heard from Mark chapter 6 on that shore of the Sea of Galilee. What had they done to deserve his compassion? How had they earned his attention? They hadn't. They had done absolutely nothing. In fact, do you remember what had been going on? If you go to the beginning verses of Mark chapter 6, you'll remember Jesus had just recently sent the disciples, the 12 disciples, out two by two. It had been an exciting, an exhilarating kind of time for them. And when they came back, they told about how evil spirits were cast out. The lame people were healed. Sinners were called to salvation. In fact, they had been so successful in what they did that now, upon regathering with Jesus, they are besieged by these needy people. Not dozens, not hundreds, thousands. The disciples had no time to call their own. They had no time for prayer. They had no time to visit with each other, no time for reflection. They're so overwhelmed that apparently they even have no time to eat. Even after trying to get away, getting into the boat and moving to a different spot, the people keep coming. They're running by foot on the edge of the Sea of Galilee to meet them on the other side, wherever that happens to be. There simply was no getting away. We Americans, we think we've got the market. We think we've got the corner on the market of stress, don't we? We think we invented the rat race. That today's world is nothing like it was in Bible times. They had it so easy. It was calm. It was simple. It was just serene. Not the case. All you have to do is take a look at this reading in Mark chapter 6 to know that Jesus understands the rat race. He understands the speed and the pressures of our lives. He knows what it's like to be run ragged. We all do, right? We all know what it's like to get run ragged for all kinds of different reasons. We know what it's like to hit that point, to get to that point where you just have to stop. You just have to take a break. Sometimes we need that break, a physical break. Our bodies need to rest. But sometimes it's something else. Sometimes it's mental. Our brains, just we need to shut them down and and not think about stuff or emotional. We just need some time, some space alone, that alone time to rest. So it amazes me when I look at this passage in Mark chapter 6, and it tells us that they reached the other side of the lake, and it was obvious that even then they weren't going to get a break. And then it says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, to which I want to respond, why? Didn't Jesus know what compassion fatigue is? Why didn't he just say, look, you know, I've done my share. I'm off the clock. It is Miller time, baby. You know, so now the rest is up to you. Go somewhere else, anywhere else, but not me, not now. He would have been justified. He would have been right. He did need the rest. He could have used the break because among other things, we also learn in Mark chapter 6 that Jesus had just found out some terrible news, some distressing news. John, friend, cousin, John the Baptizer had been put to death in this awful, this humiliating way at the behest of Herod's stepdaughter, his head on a platter. That would be awful. You can imagine how this would affect anybody. And this is what Jesus had just been through. He would have wanted, any of us would have wanted to just get away for a little bit. But Jesus has compassion on the people and reserves not even one bit of it for himself. So can you imagine the scene? Can you picture this? Jesus and his disciples and now this huge crowd of people, thousands of people by the side of the lake. They're there because, well, they just wanted to be with Jesus. It's hard to know what they were expecting. All of them probably have different expectations, but it all came down. They just wanted to be with Jesus. And Jesus, tired, worn down, in mourning, has compassion. In other words, like the farmer that I told about in my little story to you, Jesus gets down into the mud with them. He feels their pain. He knows their sorrow. He doesn't say, come back another day. He doesn't hide. He doesn't run away. He doesn't explain how he just needs a vacation. He doesn't push the boat back into the water and sail off to another spot. Jesus had compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus had just as much compassion for them as he has for you. Jesus has your pain in his heart. He knows those things you go through. He knows the stuff that sometimes you have to endure that you don't know how you're going to endure it. And he gets in it with you. He gets down into the mud with you. And he does something about it. Jesus was born into this world to take your place under God's law, the law that would otherwise condemn you for all eternity, and he showed compassion for you when he spent his entire life seeking and saving the lost. He showed compassion when he called you by name, just like we saw a few moments ago in Holy Baptism for Bennett, made you a member of his family. He makes you his own. He puts his claim on you, and no, he will never let go. All these things Jesus does, not because you're more well-behaved than most, not because you're better looking than most, not because you have a higher IQ than most. That all might be true, but that's not what he does it for. He does it because he sees how totally and absolutely lost we are without him, like sheep without a shepherd. He is moved with compassion because otherwise we are like sheep without a shepherd, and sheep without a shepherd, like sinners without a Savior, are lost. What is it that has you feeling lost these days? What kinds of things are going on, maybe in your personal life, maybe it's just stuff you see going on in the world and the national news, and you just feel like, what is going on? What has you feeling lost sometimes, just even with matters at church, where we wonder, how is this all going to work out? What kinds of things burden your soul? Because as well as your family knows you, as well as your closest friends know you, no one knows exactly what's in your heart at any moment, but Jesus does. He knows the pains and the fears. He knows the hidden hurts. He understands those wounds that you have been nursing, the scars that you are trying to keep hidden from everybody else, the masks that you put on so people don't have to see what's really going on in your mind and in your heart. He knows, and he has compassion. He wants to heal those hurts, soothe those sores. Why? Because you're important to him. You're important to him. He who has dealt with death face to face and has won eternal life for you now has compassion. Don't think your problems are too small or too large for him to care about. Large or small, Jesus has your pain in his heart. Large or small, Jesus has compassion for you. Jesus showed compassion in all kinds of ways, didn't he? One of those was what we read today. We heard about it, the feeding of the multitudes. Other times, curing the disease, giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, health to the lepers, so many of the things. And as great and as mighty as all those acts of compassion were, Jesus' ultimate act of compassion was his death. At the cross, Jesus didn't get just a little muddy. He got all the way down into the mud, covered head to foot with sin, with faults, with failures, condemned by man, forsaken by God. That was the price of your immortal soul. That was the price of your salvation that you would have to pay, but he did it in your place. And he was glad to do it, because that's compassion. And the Father, after that death on the cross, had compassion on the Son. The love that was planted in the ground on that Friday blossomed in the light of God's glory on Sunday, and he rose. And today God sends us out to have compassion with others, which is a very easy thing to say, but a terribly difficult thing to do sometimes, right? I don't know about you, but there are things that get on my nerves. I don't know about you, but there are people who do things that annoy me or say stuff that I think they shouldn't say. Having compassion in that kind of world, with those kinds of people, well, if we're going to do that, if we're going to have that kind of compassion, if we're going to show compassion like Jesus did, it's only going to happen when, by the grace of God, we receive his power of the Holy Spirit. Because only God can provide the courage to care like he did. Only by the power of God does compassion find a way to serve when otherwise indifference would find an excuse. Only by the power of God do we come to realize that the people who need our compassion the most, who need our care, need our concern, need our ministry, are quite often the people who deserve it the least. But this is what God does for us. Not long ago, there was a pastor of a congregation, and they did things much like we will do at Beautiful Savior, have mission teams to go to different parts of the world, support missionaries in different places, and all kinds of good things like that. And this particular congregation, they had a mission they supported in a third world country. Don't remember exactly which one, but India or something like this. And so the pastor and members of the congregation had gone to this country to see for themselves what the ministry was doing over there and what it was like and what the needs were and perhaps come up with more ideas of how they could help. And so as part of this journey to this third world country, they're going through a city in its worst section where the people were the poorest and the things that they saw were hard to see. It was disturbing to look at. They were going through this section of town with a tour guide. And there was trash and mess everywhere. Trash piled up, not with any kind of rhyme or reason. It just was there, crawling with bugs, buzzing with flies. No one was doing anything about it. And there, going through those piles of trash were people looking for just a little bit of food, a little bit of something they might use somehow or sell some way. And they're going along, and there's this little girl crawling over one of these big piles of trash, and one of these people on the bus, one of these church members, this lady, she couldn't stand it anymore. And she kind of snapped, and she said, "What is going on here? Doesn't she have a family?" Thinking about this little girl who's covered with grime and soot and bugs and flies crawling around. And how can her parents let her live that way? This is deplorable. And on their bus, the tour guide who was from that community didn't get defensive. He just said, "Oh, I am sure that the little girl is dearly loved by her parents. But you see, the problem is her parents have no knowledge of soap. Now you," he said, "you have knowledge of soap, but maybe not as much love for the little girl. And until love for soap and love for the little girl come together in the same person, she's likely to stay in that deplorable condition that you see for the rest of her life." Friends, I know you love Jesus dearly. And I also have no doubt that you know that there are people right here in our own community dying every day who don't know Jesus, who don't have that knowledge of their salvation in Him, and who, unless something can happen, will spend eternity apart from God in hell, which is obviously a deplorable thing. It's deplorable. But unless sadness for our community and love for Jesus come together, as individuals, as a congregation, then lost souls around us are likely to remain lost. I don't want that. I know you don't want that either. That's where compassion comes in. That's where we come creating opportunities as best we can. Fun and friends, clothing, boutique. I know there's a lot of things. Because of beautiful Savior, we recognize that our existence, the purpose, God's given purpose for our existence, the reason He put us here is not simply to feed ourselves. No, we are here for the sake of those who are not here. We are here for the sake of those who do not yet know Jesus. Now, it's a big challenge. It's getting bigger every day. I mean, we get bombarded with all those statistics. You hear about them and see about them and feel them all around you. The information that we hear about the shrinking Christian church in America. And nowhere is it more true right here in the Northwest. But we experience a culture and it seems like there's less and less respect for the church, less and less honor for Christianity. And we want to cry out, "Lord, we can't do it." Right? We can't feed all these people. We don't have enough. Grow the church? How can we? We barely have enough for ourselves. We barely have enough time, enough energy, enough money. We don't have enough. But Jesus smiles and says, "That's okay. Whatever it is, bring what you have to me. Bring it to me." And like the loaves and the fish, He will receive us. He will bless us. He will even break us if it's necessary, and then give us to the rest of the world for their benefit, for their salvation, and for God's glory. And guess what? By the end of the day, I can guarantee you there will be more than what we started with. Which means that while we may have come here today asking God to show us compassion, we leave here asking God to show us who to share compassion with. We may look at ourselves sometimes and think, you know what? We're not as many as we used to be. We're not as big as we used to be. We worry that there's not enough to go around. After all, there's a whole world out there, starting right here in our own backyards, in our own streets and alleyways, that is starving for compassion, starving for the gospel of Jesus, whether they realize it or not. There's a hole in their lives that only Jesus can fill. And sometimes we're tempted to say, do something about that, Lord. We're praying that you'll do something about that. And Jesus says to us, much like he did to the disciples, oh, but I am. That's why you're here. You give them something to eat. And when we put that into God's hands, even though it feels just so inadequate to us, there's always enough. With even more left over for those who will come after us. May God bless us with his power to deal compassionately that with all the people that we have contact in our lives with this week, whether they deserve it or not, especially when they don't deserve it, because we don't deserve God's compassion either.